Hello and a very warm welcome to our worship today in the second of our 2021 lockdown services. It's great that you've been able to join us. Coming up a little bit later on, we've got an interview with Jordan Summers. Jordan's the guy who wonderfully puts all of our online services together and hosts them on both YouTube and Facebook. But let's get to actually chat to our number one tech wizard. Sarah will be leading some prayers a bit later, and we've got a couple of different songs to share with you that you might not expect to hear in a worship service. I'm doing the first of a two-part mini-series today. This week, we're going to be considering the good news that we are good. And then next week, we'll think about how God is good. But let us begin now by praying and giving thanks to our amazing God. Let's pray. Gracious and glorious God, we welcome you to our time together today. You are such an amazing God and you bless us so much. Your presence rests on us and in us and all around us. Your grace and your mercy know no bounds, and your love envelops us and holds us. God, where would we be without you? Thank you that you bring meaning and joy and context to our lives. God, you thrill us with all that you do for us. You fill us with your peace and your hope and your love. We praise you that even in these times when our minds are elsewhere, you are always thinking about us. And we thank you that even though you are the Almighty God, holy and magnificent in splendor and holiness, still, you care about us and you call us your child. God, may we know your presence with us today. Be glorified and lifted up among us, we pray. Amen. Our first song is an old hymn that I absolutely love. It's Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. You know, thousands of years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And this hymn echoes Paul's words. The melody ebbs and flows, reminding us of a boundless ocean, the ocean of God's love.
Oh, the Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome again to the interview slot here at the MSC. Good morning. Now, I'm pleased to welcome Jordan this morning. Good to see you, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. We don't normally get to see you on a Sunday morning because you're normally the other side of the camera, aren't you?
No, to be honest, nowadays on Sunday mornings, I'm usually asleep. I've usually attended church before everybody else during the week while I've been editing it together.
What I'd like to do, Jordan, ask you a question. If we sort of throw things back 12 months, we're just at the start of 2020. Church is very much as we all expected it to be in 2020, before the pandemic, obviously. What was your day like? An ordinary day in the life of Jordan, sort of coronavirus here.
Very changeable. I think quite unpredictable, I would say, in the so I was self-employed, doing live event work mainly with a bit of sort of video stuff on the side as well. And so it was kind of, you know, it would depend what work was for that day, whether there was an event on, whether that be somewhere local, something I was doing myself, or something I was hired by another company to go and do on their behalf. Unpredictable, but in, I think, a good way. I very much enjoyed that. And every day was different. And with the different events that were going on.
I suppose that all fitted around your work with the church as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So then every once a month, every Sunday, for example, we'd have our encounter service, our sort of contemporary praise and worship and message service at PMC, the first Sunday of every month in the evening. With me, Abby Hume, Sophie Hodge, Jamie Hodge, all sort of leading that, and then various other things around the church as well, you know, wherever I was drafted.
Yeah, and then in March, April of last year, coronavirus hit.
It did.
How did that impact me? Obviously, all live performances, like concerts, events, drama, theatre. That all finished, so that would have been quite a sizable chunk of your day. So what new things have opened up for you over the top?
So yeah, those first couple of months, not to go back to the doom and gloom period, those first couple of months were obviously quite dire for not just me, anybody that was working in events anything like that, especially freelancers such as myself. Those first couple of months were pretty gloomy, because it was just, you know, first couple of weeks especially, you know, it was just cancellation after cancellation after cancellation coming in, and initially event promoters were kind of still trying to keep things going. They were like, oh, we might be out of this by July, August, September, October. And so, yeah, some people sort of left it later than others to cancel it. But as the year went on, it was kind of very clear that live events weren't going to be on in the same way that we used to, at least for quite some time. I wouldn't particularly call myself a good business person, but I did manage to sort of pivot myself a bit, which I think went very well, and was able to use, so previously, as I said, live events were my main, videography and streaming and stuff like that was kind of a side business. And so I was in quite an advantageous position that I could just swap those over, and the whole video side of things became my main business. Sort of did a big push on Swell on helping out churches, because that's a prime position that I'm in to be able to do that, from a business perspective for sure, you know, got bills to pay, but equally from a ministry perspective, you know, even if it's not in my church, if I can help people or help churches to engage with people and help people to engage with churches in a time like this where they wouldn't normally be able to, and still try and keep up some of that fellowship, you know, worship, teaching input into people's lives, even if it's in a way that they're not used to help out the churches, has been a really good thing. So I've done that with a bunch of churches locally, even done that with some sort of further afield over in North Yorkshire and Lancashire, and had a couple of longer distance Zoom calls to help people out with that as well. A lot of what I've been doing recently is live streaming funerals as well, working with funeral directors on that, which again is just really lovely to be able to, where people wouldn't be able to, you know, engage with the memorial service of a loved one because travel restrictions, or they're in a different country, or they're ill themselves, so they can't quite get there. It's really lovely to know that, you know, you're facilitating people being able to get into that sort of last memorial service of their loved one, which actually was key for me as well. My granddad died over lockdown 2, I think it was, not from COVID, from something else. But my mum, dad and brother all live over in Abu Dhabi. And it was my mum's dad that died. But so I was then able to, my mum came over and went through all the rigmarole of travelling during COVID, during international travel. But my dad and my brother had to stay over there. On a personal note for that one, being able to let my dad and my brother and various other people from around the world be involved in my granddad's funeral service was, you know, it shone a light on what it was meaning for the other people that were, you know, getting that.
I think in so many ways, I think church is one way. I think we've all had to reimagine life. I think, you know, at the start of lockdown, I think we were all sat there wondering how we're going to get through. But I think certainly from a church perspective, I think church has changed, and I think in lots of ways for the better. I mean, obviously we're missing hugging people, we're missing sort of face-to-face fellowship, and really sharing with people. But I think it's helped us sort of rethink what church means to us. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think what's been particularly hard for churches during this time is the fellowship angle of things. Church is actually, I think, at the moment, a massive social aspect of life as well, as much or more than it ever has been before. And so I think that fellowship side of thing, I think, for loads of churches has been really hard. I don't think anybody's quite sussed it, because, you know, it's difficult, but it's a real positive of being part of a church at the moment, I think.
And I think one of the huge positives, I think, not to embarrass you, but I think we've been so blessed with having you at the helm of you know, putting together the virtual services. And I think from my perspective, and certainly I think a lot of the congregation that dial in on a Sunday morning, huge thanks to you for, you know, for stepping in and using your expertise to sort of help us through some difficult times, really.
It's good to be able to kind of step up and you know that more people are able to experience church in a way that they're at least slightly familiar with. I think they do now feel familiar. And, you know, it's really nice to see Dave or Tim or whichever guest we've got in, you know, doing their bit, to see you doing an interview with a member of church. That's been not to, you know, direct the praise straight back at you, but you know, it's been really nice every week when we've had these YouTube services to catch up with someone, you know, with and you know, whether it's somebody that I would usually talk to on a Sunday, whether I'd make a beer loan for them normally or somebody completely different, you know, it's great to catch up with people. And I think even though it's probably nowhere near the church that we were used to 12 months ago. I think it does feel familiar now and feel like church, feel like PMC.
Yeah. Well, thanks ever so much, Jordan, for joining us this morning, and we'll let you get on editing the church service.
Absolutely. I'll see you on Sunday in the comments.
Indeed.
If I'm awake.
The first reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 24. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 17 to 24. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him come in. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began."
Am I still not good enough? Am I still not worth that much? I'm sorry for the way my life turned out. Sorry for the smile I'm wearing now. Guess I'm still not.
I wonder how you're feeling about yourself as we get into 2021. They say that the months of January and February are the worst for feelings of low self-esteem. If it's okay, I want to get quite personal in my message today. I just played you that chorus from a song by Little Mix. Now, they're not a band I usually listen to, but the words depict how many people feel. The lyrics said, "Am I still not good enough? Am I still not worth that much?" I've played it because there's a chance that that might be how you're feeling, that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy. You know, there are unfortunately many who are weighed down by feelings of inadequacy and low self-esteem. And those feelings can set us on a downward slope to illness and depression and fatigue. Perhaps at times we can all feel this way at some point in our lives. You know, for me, when I was a kid growing up, I was never good enough to make it into the school football or rugby teams. I enjoyed a bit of amateur dramatics, but I always got a part in the chorus or as a bit player. After flunking all of my exams, I was told that I'd never make anything of myself in life. So I spent the next 35 years constantly trying to prove myself or get to the next rung of a ladder I thought I never deserved to be even trying to climb. Now, my wife, Tracy, is, in my opinion, a really talented artist and a potter. She's forever painting pictures and throwing pots, but she rarely ever gives her creations away to others. She never thinks that they're good enough. And I don't think that me and Trace are particularly unusual. Maybe we all have similar feelings about some aspect of our life. We can often feel that we're rubbish or useless or not worth anything. And if any good does come our way, we feel that we don't deserve it. You know, even famous celebrities can feel this way. The actor Tom Hanks still goes through huge periods of self-doubt. He said in a recent interview, "No matter what I've done, I often think, how did I get here? When are they going to discover that I am, in fact, a fraud and take everything away from me?" Tennis player Serena Williams recounts always seeing her elder sister Venus as the talented one, not her. She spends her life, she says, just trying to copy and chase the shadow of her sister. She's the talented one, not me, she thinks. And then what about how we see ourselves before God? Do you ever feel unworthy of any relationship with your Creator? Because for a start, well, God is God. You can't get a more perfect or higher level to live up to, can you? We're aware of God's love and grace and mercy, but we still tell ourselves over and over again that we're not worthy, not good enough, and can't possibly deserve it. You know, in most of our worship services, we begin, or quite near the start, we have prayers of confession. Perhaps that's because we feel there's so much we need to repent of and get off our chest before we can begin to worship or approach God. Even famous Christians can feel this way. Mother Teresa, in a letter, once said this, please pray especially for me that I may not spoil God's work. For there is such terrible darkness within me, as if everything was dead. I feel so often that terrible pain of God not wanting me, of not being good enough. And, you know, without wanting to make this about me, I get a similar feeling every time I put this dog collar on. I feel unqualified to be doing what I'm doing and that soon people are going to find out who I really am and what I'm really like. You know, the Bible is full of examples of people who had similar feelings. Abraham felt unworthy to speak to God, calling himself dust and ashes. Moses felt unworthy to be called to lead God's people. King David felt that he didn't deserve God's blessings. "Who am I?" he said, "O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far?" After witnessing the presence of God, Isaiah's response was, "Woe to me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips." John the Baptist felt unworthy to even carry the sandals of Jesus. Peter felt unworthy to be a disciple. And the Apostle Paul felt unfit for his calling. "I am unworthy to be called an apostle," he said. And then in Luke 7, there is the Roman centurion who, having asked Jesus to come and heal his servant, sent a message to Jesus saying, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home. For I am not worthy of such an honour. I am not even worthy to come and meet you." Perhaps you feel the same. And if so, then those feelings of your own unworthiness and not being good enough will have a major impact on the relationship you're able to enjoy with God. They can cut us off from receiving God's love, and they create a chasm that we make between God and us that we feel unable to cross. We feel undeserving of God's grace or blessings and unqualified to partake in the life of God's church. And so we end up going through life feeling worthless and inadequate. We might try to ignore God and hide away somewhere without him. We feel ashamed and unclean in the presence of a holy God. Or sometimes we might immerse ourselves in as many areas of work and ministry as possible as a way of trying to demonstrate to ourselves and to God that we deserve something of God's love and attention. Or we can end up doubting God. After all, how can God love us when we are so damaged? Now, if any of what I've said so far resonates with you in any way or seems familiar to where you are, then there is one point I want you to hear today. Despite how you feel, God wants you to know this. You are worthy. You are good. Let me say that again. You are worthy. In Hebrews 10, we just read that we can all boldly enter God's most holy place. And that holy place is nothing less than the presence of God. We can go right in, it says, to God himself with sincere hearts that are clean and are pure and are worthy. To boldly enter means to go with confidence, to come with authority and with full rights to be at the throne of God. And we can feel such boldness and know that we are worthy, I believe, for two reasons. And the first is this: despite how you may feel, God made you wonderful. When God made you and fashioned you, God created you just as you are. And God loves you the way that God made you. We are made in the very image of God, Genesis tells us. And we're God's own workmanship, Ephesians says. God says this in Isaiah 43, "You are precious to me. You are honored and I love you." And Zephaniah 3 says that God delights in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He rejoices over you with joyful songs. Peter in 1 Peter 2 says that you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. The psalmist tells us, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And I delight in you, God says in Psalm 18. You see, to God, you are special and you are beautiful and you are loved beyond measure. You were amazingly made just as you are, no matter how you may think of yourself. God is madly and passionately in love with you, and he wants you to hear and know how wonderful he thinks you are. So please don't doubt that God made you good and that God loves and delights in you. Don't rubbish what God has called good. You are his precious child and you bring joy to God's heart. And then secondly, the other reason that you are worthy and good is this. Your relationship with God was never about your own credentials or qualifications. It's only all about God and God's grace and God's love. We read earlier part of that story of the prodigal son. He turned his back on his father. He'd squandered the family fortune. He'd brought shame on himself and his family. And he runs to his father and he says, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But the father, who Jesus uses as a metaphor for God, hears nothing of these confessions of guilt and of remorse. The father embraces the son and puts a ring on his finger and affirms his value and throws a party to celebrate his return. He just wanted his son back. He loved him as he was, and there was nothing about the son's performance that earned the father's love or blessings. No, the point Jesus was making was that it was just all about the love of the Father. You see, that's the way God works. God has always loved and delighted in us, not because of who we are or because of what we've done, but because of who God is and because of what God has done. We never, ever have to prove our worth or qualification because God's already proved His. We don't need to earn God's love. God already loves us and has proved it by coming as Jesus. And he gave us his very life to declare us clean and holy and worthy of God. By grace you are saved, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2. And this is nothing to do with you, he says. It's all God's gift. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Paul says in Romans 8, simply because God has already set us free and made us worthy through Jesus. We can boldly and confidently find our belonging in the very presence of God because of the blood of Jesus, our passage in Hebrews said. By his death, Jesus has opened up a new way to a life with God, free from guilt or fault. We are washed clean, declared innocent and worthy because of Jesus. He gave himself for us, and that means that we are forgiven. Try spelling forgiven, F-O-R-E hyphen given, forgiven. God gives to us first. God's love for us goes before us. God is a forgiving God. So here's the thing. Wherever you find yourself this morning, however you feel about yourself, no matter how inadequate you feel or how unqualified you think you are, please know that it makes no difference to how God sees you or how God loves you. Maybe you don't think you shape up. You're not good enough. You don't deserve anything of God's love. Maybe you feel you've messed up and failed and don't deserve anything of God's mercy. But actually, how you've performed is irrelevant to God. It's of no consequence to him. God loves you just the way you are. To him, you are beautiful. You are good. You are precious beyond words. And God died to reassure you of your worth and to prove how treasured you are to him. God loves you. And he did so way before you ever thought of returning that love. And God's done all of the dying so that you can now do all the living without guilt and without regret. And with joy and confidence. So today, don't turn away from the God who loves you. God's hands are reaching out to receive you. There's nail prints in those hands that tell of the price that he paid to get you back. And there's nothing that God wants more than to love you and hold you and welcome you into his presence every minute of every day. So know it. And believe it and receive it. You are loved. You are good. And you are worthy. Amen. I'm going to play another song now. This is not a Christian song. It's a song from The Greatest Showman. But as you listen, just let the words sink in. And may they reassure you of just how amazing you are.
I am not a stranger.
you to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me.
As we pray, we thank you, God, for the way you've made each of us. We thank you so much, Lord, for the way you love each of us and for the way that you clothe us in your grace and your righteousness. And Lord, we want to thank you for rest, for this day of rest, for the rest that we can find in you. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence with us in everything that we're currently experiencing, both good and bad. And Lord, we thank you that there is beauty to be found in the small and often overlooked signs of hope and new life that are springing up around us. And so, Lord, with the thankful heart, we start to pray for each other. And Lord, we especially want to pray for those feeling alone and disconnected at this time of lockdown. We ask, Lord, that you would draw close to those people. For those struggling with health issues, Lord, we pray for your healing and we bring them to mind now. And we name them before you. Lord, for those that are homeschooling and homeworking and caring for others, We lift those before you as well, Lord, and we pray that you would grant extra patience and peace at this time. And for Lord, for those mourning a loss of a loved one, we ask that you would bring your comfort into each of those families and situations. And Lord, as we start to turn outward and look towards the world, we know, Lord, that it seems quite turbulent at times. And Lord, when we watch the news, things can seem so awful. And we do pray, Lord, that your kingdom will come for those places and situations around the world, Lord, that we bring to mind now, where there's war, where there's unrest, where there's famine, where there's injustice. We ask, Lord, that you would break our hearts for what breaks your heart, Lord. Stir us to pray and to act on behalf of other people. And Lord, as we gather all our thoughts and prayers together, we pray together the words that you taught your disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the power, the kingdom, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Change. shadow, you will light up. A mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Our time together is now almost over. I hope that in our time together you've been able to encounter something of God, and something of what we've said has been able to resonate with your spirit. Perhaps you've listened to this message today and thought, actually, that doesn't really apply to me. And if that's the case, then that's fantastic. But do me a favour, can you? And perhaps you might send the link to this worship service to somebody who really might appreciate it. You might just be making their day. I'm going to finish now with a blessing, but we'll see you all again next week. And until then, stay safe and may you know the presence of God with you in all that you do. Let's pray. Lord, you have chosen us and you call us your children. You made us in your image and we are your workmanship. You love us and delight in us, and you free us and transform us to live abundant lives in you. May we go now assured of being surrounded by your love. May we boldly experience your presence with us. May we confidently know that we are held in your arms. And may we be agents of your great love to others. And now may your blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with us today, this week, and always. Amen.